שלום, אנחנו לומדים.
Hello, we are reading from Kabbalah for the Student, page 116, Introduction to the Book of Zohar, item 13. You can watch our lesson at kab.tv, send us your questions there, selected questions will be heard in the course of the lesson. Kabbalah for the Student, Introduction to the Book of Zohar, page 116, item 13. Indeed, we still need to understand how the will to receive for oneself, which is so flawed and corrupted, could extend from and be in the thought of creation in Ein Sof, whose unity is beyond the words and beyond description. The thing is that by the very thought of to create the souls, his thought completed everything, for he does not need an act as do we. Instantaneously, all the souls and worlds that were destined to be created emerged, filled with all the delight and pleasure and the gentleness he had planned for them, in the final perfection that the souls were intended to receive at the end of correction. After the will to receive in the souls has been fully corrected and was turned into pure bestowal, in complete equivalence of form with the emanator. This is so because in his eternalness, past, present, and future are as one. The future is as the present, and there is no such thing as time in him. Hence, there was never an issue of a corrupted will to receive in its separated state in Ein Sof. On the contrary, that equivalence of form destined to be revealed at the end of correction appeared instantly in the infinite. And your sages and our sages said about that, before the world was created, there were he is one and his name one. For the separated form in the will to receive had not been revealed in the reality of the souls that emerged in the thought of creation. Rather, they were cleaved onto him in equivalence of form by way of he is one and his name one.
We need to think about it, because we don't have such a sensation. But let's say that we can find it like in a game, that I know in advance what would happen.
Yeah?
And then I enter into this game with someone who is not aware of it, let's say a child. And I want to bring him gradually to the state that I've established for him to reach in the end. And then I set various conditions along the way, some obstacles, some rewards, and a few more such things he has to overcome. With the strength, with the effort in connection with others, with moving away from me, with coming closer to me, and so on and so forth. All this in order to bring him to be complex, to be a composite of all these different forms that are similar to me and opposite to me, in order to understand me at the end and enjoy the connection with me. This is something that we can understand, how the Creator, from His eternality, from His wholeness, perfection, sees the final state, establishes that, and then from that final state, He's building the first state, as it's written, the end of the action is in the initial thought, that He wants to do it in such a way, and that's why He starts from the very beginning in order to reach the end. In this way, in each and every detail throughout this long process, has a beginning and an end, and has the entire process we have to go through in accordance with what we need to be in the end. So, of course, the end of the action is in the initial thought, the end of the action in the middle, and in the each and every step, that it's all aimed only towards the end. And that's why it turns out that sometimes, typically I would say, often we can't justify the Creator, because He sees the end of the thought. And we are cleaved onto that moment right now. And that's why our work is called Faith Above Reason. Faith above reason in what? When I accept the final state, which is adhesion, which is connection, absolute bestowal, absolute love, I accept it as first a given from the Creator, and there's nothing to argue about. Second, that I have to agree with it with my heart and soul, because I have no other choice, and gradually I have to come to a state where I accept that state according to the changing qualities in me, according to my correction, as the desirable things, that I agree with them more and more, that I want them, that even if the Creator wouldn't have done them, I would have planned those same things by myself and carried out those things and come to them, and I create them, and I create the Creator. And not that He seemingly established those things for me. He only established the way for me to understand, to recognize, to agree with, to accept, to become such that the state will be mine. So it turns out that my work is only in coming to know the purpose of creation to such an extent that I desire it. And in that, I am in adhesion with the Creator. So, nevertheless, we have to maintain this general overview, because it helps us see what's going on with us in each and every moment. That you cannot agree with an action, as he's saying, don't show a fool a work half done. That only one who understands the final form can understand the current state along the way. He brought this example. He will bring this example to us later with this allegory. Questions?
From my perception, I see that I'm in a process, and there's a moment here, and what you explained, I am willing to accept and work with, but what does it mean that past, future, and present serve as one?
In each and every moment, I understand that the Creator is in the end. From that end, from seeing the end that he sees, that's what he wishes it to happen. So for him, the end is like the beginning, it's like the present. He doesn't have past, present, future. And so towards me, he created this artificial starting point, which is a state of concealment, total concealment, restriction, and the cascading down in this dirty world, and the shatterings and all those things he created in order to give me an opportunity, as light excels darkness, an opportunity to come to know him, come to know his actions. From your actions we shall know you. Gradually, when I perform actions similar to the Creator, I begin to come to know him. I don't have any other way of reaching this recognition, agreement, all the way up to love, this inner recognition of his actions. That's where I'm at. And in each and every moment, I have to be like this. And You have hemmed me in from behind and from before. Yeah.
I want to ask something, because many times students ask about it. Time is something that really troubles people. So what does it mean he created? Everything is all eternal. So what is that moment he created?
He created the concealment.
And what is that moment?
Concealment is Baal, is outside of him and the light. It's called creation, it's called Baal. Asher bara Elohim la'asot. The Creator has created in order for us to do, to make these actions through which we can skip over the darkness of a creation. We complete it.
How? I'm not being philosophical, but what was it? What does it mean that out of eternity there is this moment where he created concealment? Because this is something that is not perceived. What if there's eternity? So what is time? That time?
I don't know. We don't need to start from that. How do you interpret eternity? There is a static state, one. Because wholeness cannot be included of several states. Wholeness can be only one. That's, with respect to us, that's how it is. Later, it will change. Not that this concept of one will change, but it becomes more... It becomes wider, more inclusive. The Creator towards us, again, we're not talking about His essence, Atzmuto. We're never talking about the upper root. We have no attainment of it. It is in such dimensions where our feelings, our intellect cannot even discuss it. We're speaking of a judge has only what his eyes can see according to our vessels. So according to our vessels, we are talking about the final state that is, first of all, something that the Creator deems good. Why good? Because in the final state, we become like Him. We feel like Him. Our state is like His state. I don't know exactly what is it, but somehow. Now, from this perfect state, there's a problem. He wants his created being to reach his state. That's the final state, the Creator's state. What does it mean to be in the Creator's state, but to remain a created being? What is he doing? He's creating something outside of him, opposite him, seemingly a copy of him, an imprint from him, because he's a desire to bestow, to love. He creates a desire to receive, meaning everything opposite. Instead of bestowal, self-love. And that's it. And in order to salvage the created being from this separation, he gives the created being the possibility to gradually, slowly become similar to him in degrees, in states, such states and other states and other states, using all sorts of discernments and modes and manners in order to understand the Creator. Over a period of 6,000 years, as we call it, those are not years, as it changes. Throughout Taryag or Tarach, 613 or 620 actions, by dividing the created being into 600,000, but actually billions of pieces, still vegetative animate, other than that. Why? So that in order, together with the separation, when they gather the still vegetative and animate around the speaking, and the speaking degree is working, and in this speaking degree, what we call Yashar Kel, through the separation, the shatterings, the descents and the falls, when they begin to slowly, gradually to reassemble themselves through connection and breakage and overcoming and everything that they have between them, they discover what is the quality of love and bestowal. Where from the outset, they have nothing of that. So in this way, they attain it as light excels the darkness. Both the states that are opposite the Creator, called the left line, and the states that are similar to the Creator, called the right line, and they establish themselves on the middle line. They keep the separation. It's there. It remains there. The left line remains there. And they keep the unity that they can attain. And in this way, they raise themselves until they reach this final state in the middle line. That's the work. You can't do it any other way. It's possible that you can have other assumptions, but you can check if it's possible or not. The Creator works from the end backwards, knowing that the created being will have exactly his quality. We don't know what is what is bestowal, love. We don't know. This is something that we do not have. And that's why he created existence out of absence, the will to receive that's opposite him. And then out of these two opposite points, we get this process that we have to go through. With respect to the Creator, it's like when you are playing with a child and you know the entire process, you know all his forms of behavior, but with respect to the Creator, there's no such thing. You can say, where is the reward? Where is the punishment? You can say, more. Where do we give him contentment? Or is this a... this game is sold. No. Inside this rigged game, we're going through various states. In each and every state, we have another, one additional free discernment, a free parameter in which we can give him contentment. And this is called the labor of man, the exertion. On that, there are no concessions. This is something you have to do. You can say, how can it be that in order to give contentment to him, he's obligating me, he dropped everything on me, and I'm obligated by that, I'm receiving reward or punishment? Is this the meaning of contentment? Is this how you do it? Because he created the will to receive, he works on that will to receive only with respect to that discernment, to add exertion in order to give him contentment, because in giving him contentment, it's a vessel, this contentment. In that vessel, we attain his degree. We can become like him. Specifically in that, meaning we're not just in the world of Ein Sof, as in the beginning of the process, where we don't feel ourselves there, but rather by giving him contentment, that's what it's called, we are acquiring the yearning to enjoy wholeness. That's why there can be no concessions about that. That's more or less.
Can I ask about the introduction as an article? Or it is called the Introduction to the Book of Zohar. I would like to know what these discernments prepare us to read the Zohar. Why is it called this way?
There are four introductions to the Book of Zohar. This is the most important. Perhaps there's also the preface to the Wisdom of Kabbalah, which is also an introduction to the Zohar. But from a conceptual standpoint, ideological, purposeful perspective, this is the most important introduction. This is the general introduction that it's recommended to start studying it. Not completely, but at least to some extent with beginners, because it opens to rewrite it in an easier way and bring it to beginners is a good idea.
But why is it called the Introduction to the Book of Zohar? The discernments of it prepare me for the reading of the Zohar?
No, it discloses to us a process that we have to go through, a process. Throughout all the worlds, all the patsufim, all the sfirot, all the relationships between us, it's a very complex introduction. It includes the worlds, the souls, our relationships here as humans, to bring us to a state where there's no choice, but we have to take care of ourselves. And then the Zohar that follows that is what brings us the force of change, the reforming light.
I want to say, yesterday we didn't ask much. I think we get a lot from it, and it comes in really good time, and I hope we will read it all the way through, because it is revealed now in a way like never before. I think the last time we read it was 2 or 3 years ago, and this is something completely different, and it feels very important.
I'm happy to hear. Moscow.
Sasha Ledovskoy is asking, the Creator really never distanced the Creator, rather we're always equal to Him, close to Him.
I likened it to a child. No, we teach how to behave according to what we want. So we love Him, we depend on Him, He depends on us. Out of love, we have this constant adhesion between us. The child doesn't feel it, because as soon as they start to burden him with an assignment, he sees he has to attain something that is... That's how it is. A father applies pressure. And then to the extent he feels pressure, he can't be in adhesion to me. There's something that separates us. My desire for him to do something, and his desire not to do it yet, or maybe he doesn't know how to do it. So that's how we advance. But the adhesion, the connection from the Creator towards us, absolute love determines the entire process. As much as we see in this corporeal world, such opposite forms of hatred, the annihilation, truly, but it all stems reluctantly out of this state of love. Caribbean. Caribbean.
Si, Rab, nuestro...
Yes, Rav. Our dear friend Esteban is asking, how can I agree with the Creator if I see that we always start from the left? Or I agree with the Creator with everything that He's doing to us, He's directing us to the right side, to the final state? Or is
the Creator doesn't aim us at the final state, but the state that we have to obtain for the time being and the conditions that He discloses to us, and inner conditions, external conditions in the group. We have to understand, first of all, that we connect to the Creator only from the Ten and within the Ten. And we're not connecting ourselves for the time being with our entire world. We're going to get confused. We can't see that picture in its totality just yet. We are limited in this way. That's why we must build a Ten, only build a Ten, in order to reach in the Ten such a level of connection that we will be adhered to the Creator. He will appear in us. The relationship between us, the connection between us has to be such that the Creator is revealed, meaning the connection between us has to be in love and bestowal that is similar, suitable, rather, to our level. And I look only at that. I don't look at the world. I don't judge the world. Is it good or not? I'm not looking at my family, my relatives, anything, nothing. I look only at the Ten. Only at the Ten. And only in it do I realize, actualize my spiritual work. If we would arrive in the correct Ten and there begin to discover the Creator, to the extent that we later will receive a burdening of the heart, and again will connect between us on top of this burdening. Let's say we reach Ibur, and then from the stages of Ibur we'll go more and more and more to annulment, annulment, annulment of the ego between us, connection between us more and more. From that we'll begin to see from one end of the world to the other end, as it's written about the embryo in his mother's womb, and sees the whole world from one end to the other. We'll see more and more and more from one end to the other of all of reality, and how all of this reality is included, is present inside our annulment. And in this we'll begin to know the true reality. I can't talk about it because it's a matter of feeling, but our work, this is what I'm trying to emphasize, our work is only in the tent. Don't ask about the world, don't ask about your family or anything. Rather, you have to assemble yourself, concentrate yourself with the friends, and only there, in this seemingly concealed way, where you, like children, run away to some corner and play a certain game. That's what we're doing. And for the time being, we establish ourselves in this way spiritually inside the group. And
Adam 14. Thus, you necessarily find that on the whole there are three states to the soul. The first state is their presence in Ein Sof, in the thought of creation, where they already have the future form of the end of correction. The second state is their presence in the 6,000 years, which were divided by the above two systems into a body and soul. They were given the work in Torah and Mitzvot in order to invert the will to receive and turn it into a will to bestow contentment upon their Maker, and not at all to themselves. During the time of that state, no correction will come to the bodies, only to the souls. This means that they must eliminate any form of self-reception, which is considered the body, and remain with but a desire to bestow, which is the form of desire in the souls. Even the souls of the righteous will not be able to rejoice in the Garden of Eden after their demise, but only after their bodies rot in the dust. The third state is the end of correction of the souls after the revival of the dead. At that time, the complete correction will come to the bodies too, for then they will turn reception for themselves, which is the form of the body, to take on the form of pure bestowal, and they will become worthy of receiving for themselves all the delight and pleasure and pleasantness in the thought of creation. And with all that, they will attain strong adhesion by the force of their equivalence of form with their Maker, since they will not receive all that because of their desire to receive, but because of their desire to bestow contentment upon their Maker, since He derives pleasure when they receive from Him. And for purpose of brevity, from now on, I will use the names of these three states, namely, first state, second state, and the third state. And you should remember all that is explained here in every state.
Questions, or we should go over this again?
When did time start?
There is no time. Time is changing states in us. They give us the concept of time. There is no time. If the state wouldn't change, would I have the state of time? The clock would turn, but I wouldn't pay attention to it. or I would pay attention that something is moving, something is changing, but not towards me. Meaning, if there's no change, there's no time. Meaning, time is a number of changes we feel happening. So what are you asking?
In the second state, he says that he uses time only in the second state.
The fact that we are in all kinds of corrections that are happening to us, then by this we feel that it's happening in this time. More time, less time, hasten time, slow time. It's all the inner feeling of a person from the corrections that are occurring in him, the changes that are happening to him. But the moment there are no changes, there's no time.
How does the wisdom of Kabbalah relate, suppose, to the Big Bang, suppose the beginning of time according to measurements?
Everything that happens, happens in our desire, as we identify these things. I am now in a special state in which I feel the world. I feel that it exists. I feel that it's changing. I live in it. I too am changing. That's how I perceive. Everything is in the changes. These changes happen in the degrees of still, vegetative, and animal, which seemingly are not dependent on me. What does it mean that they're not dependent on me? I have this engine in me that is constantly changing. And then by those changes that this engine awakens all kinds of new details in me, I feel from those details that the world around me is changing. In truth, the world is not there, or that you could say that it's something permanent that is unchanging. It's rather me that is changing. I am changing. When I see stars exploding and people running and all those things occurring around me, I could say that it's not them that exist, and it's not they are running and are acting, but rather in me, those conditions that I identify are changing. You can make a constant to the external form, and you can say that it depends on the inner changes, or you could say, no, I'm not changing. Rather, everything is changing on the outside. What are you looking at me like that?
What happened 14 billion years ago?
I don't know what 14 billion years is. I don't have such a concept in me. It depends how you define your discernments. We are living in a state in which time does not depend on us. Einstein came, and after him, others. They say, no, time, what do you mean time doesn't depend on us? Of course it depends on us. It's relative. Let's say, if I move at a certain speed, not this little speed that we're here, time can go ahead or it can go backwards. It could stop. We could stop time. How is that possible? Of course, because time is not a given from above, but rather it's all towards in relative to the observer. There's a problem here. Not even all the physicists understand this. A simple person? Of course not. He just hears that there's something big there, that Einstein is smart. But what is he smart about? You ask him, he doesn't know. The wisdom of Kabbalah says simply, Kabbalists, since Adam Rishon onwards, already got that thing in a simple way, that there's no such thing as time. Time is a number of actions that are passing by in my ego, my will to receive. I can speed it or slow it down. It's all dependent on me. It's all the subjective perception of a person only.
A Kabbalist, that's above time. What is that?
Here comes a question, because you're talking about the observer. Yes? Not that it's outside of the observer seemingly happening. Outside of the observer, we have the world of Insof. Towards the Kabbalist. The Kabbalist is in the two levels of perception of reality. The corporeal degree, you know, through his body with his five senses, and on this spiritual level, if he acquired that perception, that degree. And then accordingly, he has two realities. And that's how he lives, for the time being. Until he corrects himself. When he corrects himself, then we will talk later what changes. Whether he comes to the end of correction, what does he see at the end of correction? Does the world disappear? Yes, no. Does the body that die, what ends with it? There are certain discernments that we cannot scrutinize yet correctly. Not correct, in a way that can be accepted in our intellect, in our mind. A little more. Yes.
What's this differentiation he makes between the souls that he says that have to be corrected first and the bodies in the second stage? I know, I've created the ill inclination.
That's called body.
So what are the souls?
That which clothes in the corrected body.
Which is what?
That which clothes in order to bestow.
So why do you have to correct it?
To correct means that you are doing a restriction, a masach, a returning light, and you adapt your will to receive to be similar to the Creator, and in order to bestow.
So my will to receive is the body.
Then you'll have a corrected body.
So what are the souls then?
The clothing of the Creator inside the corrected body.
I don't understand.
I agree with you that you don't understand, so think about it more and more. It's impossible to explain it, because it's not yet in our feelings. In order to not get confused, go to the preface of the Wisdom of Kabbalah, the Pticha, or to the four phases of direct light. You have light, you have Kli, and all that's happening is happening between the two only. That's it. As much as you can advance from those two discernments, the light and the Kli, you'll advance. If you're feeling that you're starting to get confused, stop. But there's no more than the two. Nefesh, ruach, neshama, souls, bodies, corrupted, creator, the creature, demons. There's the will to receive and the light that created it and is doing all kinds of actions on it, certain manipulations on it. Okay?
When we work in the 10 on connection, really we're putting pressure on the connection. There are plenty of states that become revealed that we have to overcome all the time. Is this hastening or is it only the preparation for it?
Yes, yes. That's already hastening time. When you want to try in every state to bring him to correction, to connection, that's considered that you're making time. Time is what you see between the state of correction and the state of corruption. Not the period of time, how many seconds or hours that have passed, but from state to state, that's considered a time unit. Therefore, a time unit could be a minute or an hour or a year. But it's the same time unit from the descent to an ascent.
But as if it's not up to us. What's up to us is only the desire to work on the connection. That's it.
Yes, yes. But by that you're hastening time. From 5 minutes you can go through 400 descents and ascent, like Rabash said about the Baal Shem Tov. Yes? Not Baal Shem Tov. I don't remember who. But in short, you can go through them like that. And people can go through this even if it was those people who died and came back and died and stayed dead.
Can we say that it influences the world to some extent that we perceive as external?
Of course, because the world is a copy of what's happening there and changing.
We work together in the tent. Suppose we're in a workshop or in a congress or morning lesson or a certain state. We're really doing good work on the connection and plenty of things are going on. What's the connection between this and the external world suddenly?
What do you mean, what's the connection? It's the corrected world, where only you are not capable of seeing how much in the connections between you, you are influencing the external world and making a form to it. The external world is establishing for you the state of the ten. You will feel that the more you connect, the external world becomes closer to us, more beautiful and good. And the worse we are between us, that way the external world will appear as distant and hostile. Yes.
What are we hastening?
Our correction. The hastening of time is considered to bring contentment to the Creator. If we don't hasten time, we're not bringing Him contentment. Because here it's a matter of our exertion.
This is exactly what I want to ask about. At first we said that there are no concessions regarding the exertion. So on the one hand, you have to do it. On the other hand, we hasten time.
You have to give efforts on your behalf to each and every Rishimo in order to bring it to correction. Meaning the fact that you can say, but it's written that if we don't do, then we're going through path of suffering. And if not by the path of Torah, then the path of suffering. But do we reach the end? It's also written that eventually we reach the end of correction. So with more effort, with less effort, more bringing contentment, less bringing contentment, less success, more success, we're going to get there. We will discuss that. It's not exactly that way. I'll just tell you one thing. If it was like that, I can't explain it, maybe. But there would be no benefit from the creation itself. There would be no benefit from the creation if it was possible to sit, suffer, and reach the end of correction in suffering, and that's it. Because the lack that you need to attain through envy, lust, honor, inside the ten, inside that mutuality, inside the arvut, therefore the Torah was only given after the condition of arvut. As without that, you can't correct yourself. You're not adding anything to creation, because the Creator has from the beginning to the end of creation. So what are you adding in the middle? Only your tendency, your inclination to add something from you. And from you, it is how much you are stimulating each other in the ten, igniting, pushing. That's the whole benefit. The addition. And for this, actually, everything was created. Otherwise, take the end of correction and that's it. What do you have in that? You won't be able to feel the end of correction compared to the initial point of the path towards the last point. The difference between them is only from those the Creator counts what was it written? They add that He only counts those additions, all those causes. That's actually the essence, the main thing. It's like you're taking that upper layer off. That's the main thing. All the rest, it's from Him. But here, it's your effort, your exertion specifically.
Okay, Bala Sulam, letter 38. The main thing is the exertion, meaning to think how to exert oneself in his work, because the ordinary work is not taken into consideration, but only the surplus, which is called exertion. And from all the work that one does, the Creator, He draws only that surplus to the ordinary work, and these will be the letters and kelim for the reception of the light of His countenance.
Yes, Vlad.
It says someplace that the Creator does not, that you have to make the last drop of exertion.
He makes no concessions, because without we won't have reality. We won't have, without that, we are like a zero, like in the beginning of reality to the end of reality. All that we're growing now with in order to become an Adam similar to the Creator is because we're adding our longing of the longing from our behalf.
Maybe we'll be able to feel or understand what is this kli, the exertion, the drop of exertion, but if we feel that we'll be able to do it.
Talk about it in the ten and see. I can't show this to you. It won't help. No. Let's continue.
Item 15. When you examine the above three states, you will find that one completely necessitates the other in a way that if one were to be cancelled, the others would be cancelled too. If, for example, the third state, the conversion of the form of reception to the form of bestowal, had not materialized, it is certain that the first state in En Sof would never have been able to emerge. It's because the perfection materialized there only because the future third state was already there, as though it is present. And all the perfection that was pictured there, in that state, is like a reflection from the future into the present. But if the future could be cancelled, there would not be any present. Thus, the third state necessitates the existence of the first. All the more, so when something is cancelled in the second state, where there is all the work that is destined to be completed in the third state, the work in corruption and correction, and the continuance of the degrees of the souls. Thus, how will the third state come to be? Hence, the second state necessitates the existence of the third. And so it is with the existence of the first state in En Sof, where the perfection of the third state resides. It definitely necessitates that it will be adapted, meaning that the second and third states will appear in complete perfection, no less and no more in any way. Thus, the first state itself necessitates the expansion of two corresponding systems in the second state to allow the existence of a body and the will to receive, corrupted by the system of impurity, thus enabling us to correct it. And had there not been a system of impure worlds, we would not have that will to receive, and we would not be able to correct it and come to the third state. For one cannot correct that which is not in him. Thus, we need not ask how the impure system came to be from the first state, for it is the first state that necessitates its existence in the form of the second state. The third state, it's the Creator, because that's the revelation of the Creator and the created beings. We don't attain Him in any other way. When we become like the upper light, the third state, that's the Creator that works in the first state. In the first state, we have two states, a state of the beginning of creation without the Creator, and the state of the end of creation, entirely the Creator. And in between these two states, both of them being present, they actually create between them the entire process called the second state, to come from a state where there is no Creator to a state which is entirely the Creator. And therefore there, in the scrutiny between them, develops the need for the impurity, the shattering, the breaking, the disconnection, the hatred, all those opposite discernments in order to know and better discern what exists between the first and the third states. How to build the created being so that he'll feel all the discernments in the Creator, and it's possible to feel only from a thing and its opposite, and then how to become like the Creator on behalf of the created being himself. It all exists in the first state, in potential. How to say this? In potential. And is revealed in the third state, in practice. This is actually what it's all about. Therefore, the first, second, and third states, they necessitate each other, and therefore it is impossible for there to be one or two of the states without the third, because the three exist in each and every state, and nothing changes, but all three of them are together and are revealed differently with respect to the one who attains them, and only. But outside of a person, this process doesn't exist. But history, geography, there's no process, there's no time, there's no motion, there's no nothing. It all happens only in the attaining person, according to where he is. Be my guest. You're invoking the first or the second state or the third state on a certain ladder. Please. Because everything exists on a certain scale. Yes, Asaf.
Rav, something's not clear to me. If the first state is, you said that it includes two states, the beginning of creation without the Creator, and a state of the end of creation, all Creator. So actually, what do we need the third state for? If we're going back from our effort in the second state to the effort for connection, we come to the first state, but in correction, what's the addition of the third state?
Towards the created being. The created being. The first state. The final action, which is the third state, is in the initial thought, which is the first state. What state does he exist there in the first state in order to establish the relations between them such that the third state will be able to reveal itself? They connect so that in between the first and the third state, so in between them, will open up the system of impurity, tuma, and holiness, gdusha, and then there will be a connection between them. Think about it. All right? Yes.
Rav, I didn't understand. Can you say what's the point in creation? I mean, what's this whole first, second, third?
In order for the will to receive the form, the shape of the Creator, namely the desire in order to bestow. For the will to receive, to be in order to bestow.
But for what do we need this?
What? Because the will to receive, when it's not in order to bestow, it feels only itself. You can even say that it feels its existence, that it doesn't feel its existence. It exists, but it doesn't feel its existence. There's no such reality in spirituality, or in general, in the true form of things. We exist in our world, which is the imaginary world. This reality doesn't exist. It exists only like in a dream, and it says so. In order to bring the created being to a state where he does exist.
I'm asking, for what do we need the created being? What do we need the will to receive? Why at all do we need all this?
Why did the Creator create? He wanted for there to be a created being and for the created being to enjoy his state. And in general, when we talk in terms of time. First, there was no created being, and then the Creator created him, and then the created being performs corrections and reaches and becomes like the Creator. It's all as if within the boundaries of time for us. But actually, there is no time. It doesn't happen. It's not something that occurs. We're incapable of understanding this in the meantime. I can't tell about it because our entire vocabulary is also time-related. It's related to our reality.
Can you say that it's one state, but that exists? Meaning first, second, third, in that same point?
That point, that state, everything you're talking about comes from this limitation, our limitations. In short, we have nothing left but to stop asking and start doing. That's it. Realize the connection and let's scrutinize everything. Where are we?
Tetzain.
16. Read. We'll manage.
Item 16. Therefore, one must not wonder at how it was that the choice had been taken from us, since we must be completed and come to the third state, since it is already present in the first. The thing is that there are two ways the Creator has set for us in the second state to bring us to the third state. The first is the path of keeping Torah and mitzvot, which was explained above. The second is the path of suffering, since the pain itself purifies the body and will eventually compel us to invert our will to receive into the form of a will to bestow and cleave to Him.
Meaning, we have to awaken ourselves. That's called the Girumin. To find in us where are these deficits that we want to bestow, that we want to be connected. Bestowal is expressed in connection and only, just for you to know. It's not that I'm bestowing. You're bestowing where? Practically wise, who are you connecting with? There's no other kind of bestowal but connection. And therefore, this is our only inclination. Or this is the only thing that we can express our inclination in.
Therefore, one must not wonder at how it was the choice was taken from us, since we must be completed and come to the third state, since it is already present in the first.
So it's not regarding choosing the third state. It's about how do we choose each and every step on our way.
The thing is that there are two ways the Creator has set for us in the second state to bring us to the third state. The first is the path of keeping Torah and mitzvot on the way that was explained above. The second is the path of suffering, since the pain itself purifies the body and will eventually compel us to invert our will to receive into the form of the will to bestow and cleave to Him. It is, as our sages said, if you repent, good.
In the first way.
And if not, I will place over you a king such as Haman, and he will force you to repent. Our sages said about the verse, "We'll hasten it in its time. If they are rewarded, I will hasten it."
By way of Torah.
And if not, in its time.
Path of suffering.
Which means that if we are granted through the first path by keeping Torah and mitzvot, we thus hasten our correction. And we do not need the harsh agony and the long time needed to experience them, so they will compel us to re- form.
Meaning that we raise man, requests for correction, for connection, meaning, and then from above we receive mud that corrects us, connects us, and then we're worthy for the upper light to reside in us, and by this we give the Creator contentment. We receive the soul in the Shekhinah. And if not?
And if not, in its time. Meaning only when the suffering will complete our correction. And the time of correction will be forced upon us. On the whole, the path of suffering is also the punishments of the souls in hell.
Meaning in complete disconnection from the Creator in the opposite form.
But in any case, the end of correction, which is the third state, is mandatory because of the first state.
And also the first state is established correctly in order to attain the third state.
And our choice is only between the path of suffering and the path of Torah and Mitzvot.
Meaning from the very first point to the third point.
Thus, we have thoroughly clarified how the three states of the souls are interconnected and necessitate one another.
Questions?
No.
Yeah? Quickly.
How actually is there choice if a person is not capable of being in the path of suffering?
You still have no choice. You have to reach that yet. You're not on the way yet. You're not on the path.
I'm not asking myself. I'm asking about the explanation that he gives. That there's a choice between two paths. Torah and Mitzvot or suffering. What's actually the choice if a person can't, when they're suffering, he's not capable?
This I don't understand. I have the possibility through working in the group to awaken the friends or to be influenced by them or to perform different actions, bodily actions, in order to connect with them, come closer to them, do different things that aren't my inner qualities, but physically. Can I get up for the lesson or not? Do I prepare myself for it or don't I? That's choice. Do I do it? I'm on the path of Torah. I don't do it, I'll be forced to do it by way of suffering.
So where's the choice? If I don't want...
It's choice. Necessarily, it's your choice. Spiritually wise and corporeally wise, you have choice. Don't say you don't. All right? Yes. So, yes, quickly.
In which direction are we today, more or less? What path are we on? The path of suffering? Or?
I have choice in each and every moment to choose this or that.
And what about the general folk and the achab?
They have no choice, no point in asking about them. The question is only about those people that have choice, that are on the way, that are using the method, they want to correct themselves, and then, before them, always, in each and every moment, don't say that sometimes they do and sometimes they don't, but every given moment, you have the ability to choose what to belong to, the path of light or the path of the desire.
One way or another, the general folk, the achab.
Mister, it's not the achab. You're confused. I'm telling you,
I'm talking about them now.
I'm not talking about them because they're not a part of this process.
They have to come to a state where of him, he is, and his name is one?
Maybe through a different method. Here we're talking about people that are called Yashar Kel, that have the desire to realize themselves through utilizing the wisdom of Kabbalah, and it's a very small part. As it says, you're the few of the nations. It's a very small part of the population. And the rest aren't. You see, according to their desire, according to everything. And also our dissemination. We disseminate only to hunt those that do have such a deficiency, but not the others.
Thank you.
So you can learn what the matter of choice is.
We wanted to update and remind everyone that this evening there's going to be a special women's lesson. We won't have the global Yeshivat Chavirim as usual. There'll be a special women lesson. The assembly is going to be here in Petah Tikva. All the women will be coming to Petah Tikva from 5 o'clock this evening. And at 6, the preparation for the lesson will start. The lesson will be until 8 o'clock in the evening. Of course, in the hall, there will be women that will be gathering here. And we want to remind that men that are not obliged are welcome to come and do tens and do Yeshivat Chavirim. Only those that are obviously that are not committed to their children or something.
I don't understand. The men can come here too?
No, there won't be any meeting of men.
So clarify that. In Petah Tikva, correct, men can't come in, only women.
That's how it's going to be in all the centers in the world. But if there are men that are not committed to anything, are welcome to connect locally in
and some bar or apartment.
Wherever they want, they can have happy connections under the permission of their women.
Okay. So I hope that due to yesterday's and today's freedom, you'll make it to the lesson tomorrow, because I see after you have days off, your daily task.
So before the daily task, we're going to say that today we want to announce a special day of connection for the World Kli. We're going to be advertising soon a World Zoom where all the groups will be able to sign up. Every group will do the advice of Rav from yesterday, where actually the friends will sit and read the preparation materials for tomorrow morning, so that will be sent out soon. And we will move to Kazakhstan, to Astana, to hear the daily task.
Daily task?
The daily task from the Yokneam group. Throughout the day, every friend does three actions that awaken the friends and push towards the scrutiny, how the Creator wants to be revealed every moment. At the end of the day, we are going to summarize it in the tense. Again, throughout the day, every friend does three actions that awaken his friends to recognize how in every moment the Creator wants to be revealed. At the end of the day, we will summarize it with the conclusions in our tents. Thank you to our viewers on the TV. Have a good day. A global women meeting today will happen in the Petah Tikva Group Center. Everyone's invited to come. The gathering will be between 5 and 6. We'll have a gathering, and at 6 to 8, there will be a lesson with Rav on the topic of the woman in the ten. We're expecting everyone, and it will be broadcast on Tzvi Ratova. We're all one family, the World Kabbalah Convention. Friends, students, and dear friends, we're going to have a World Kabbalah Convention that will take place from the 20th to the 22nd of February in Tel Aviv. For more details, call 1-700-509-209, or go into the Kabbalah La'am site. Dear friends, the 10 team of the World Kli is inviting all those who don't have tens yet to write to the mail, congress.10@gmail.com, in any language, and we will make sure that we can connect you to a 10. With that, we will conclude. Have a great day.
Come on, people, gather round. Come on, people, gather round.
Above this time and space.
Come on, people, gather round.
Let's find a higher place.
Come on, people, gather round.
The circle awaits.
Come on, people, gather round.
Put a smile on your face.
Clear your senses, free your mind. Your heart will keep the beat. Let's all sing together. So get up on your feet. Completing the circle.
Come my way.
Completing the circle.
Unite and play.
Completing the circle. Let the love shine night and day. Completing the circle.
Come my way.
Completing the circle.
Unite.
Let the love shine night and day.
gather round
above this time and space.
Come on, people, gather round.
Let's find a higher place.
Come on, people, gather round.
The circle awaits.
Come on, people, gather round.
Put a smile on your face. Clear your senses, free your mind. Your heart will keep the beat. Let's all sing together. So get up on your feet. Completing the circle.
Got my way.
Completing the circle.
Unite and play.
Completing the circle. Let's